Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian.
Night to get lucky is crazy.
It works. Yeah, Sneakles are a little lucky to be 3-0. It's okay to say it. We don't have to get in our feelings over it. But I understand it. I think Eagles are lucky to be 3-0.
I don't think it's luck though, because we can't. Like, to me, with all due respect, you can't say you have one of the best rosters in the NFL and then on the other side say you got lucky.
Oh, I think
it
does. But if the best roster is not playing up to its potential and still winning, that's some luck to it.
That means your head and shoulders better than the teams you're playing against.
Can't talent sometimes just win you the day?
But I think that happens against bad teams.
Like, if you're not playing your best, sometimes the talent will tip the scale.
And it says something about preparation too, man, because...
Preparation? They were down 19. They had 1 yard throwing in the first half.
If you would have let me finish.
Preparation? First half's been crap. I'm sorry.
No. But I'm saying, when I talk about preparation, I'm talking about the Rams and the way that they prepared and what they've been through the last couple times we played them. They came in. They played well. They couldn't sustain it for whatever reason. They couldn't. Whether somebody went in the locker room, got the lip slapped off, and they changed the game plan, or they called off the dogs.
And we're back to this again?
I'm just saying. I mean, recklessly speculating. I got a whole week left. I got a couple more days to recklessly speculate before we play this next game. But when you go in a game like that and you have a solid game plan, that was a solid game plan by Coach McVay.
Of course
Elliott's
was.
Here, by the way.
Yeah,
They had him on the ropes.
Yeah, the song got us onto a tangent.
Yeah, it did. And they had him on the ropes, man. But that, I think it was more skill than luck.
All right, let's go to the guest here, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's Color Cut Clarity, Carrot and Cozy. Elliott, how are we doing today?
Man, I got to say, I love recklessly speculating Hugh. And I think that his track record on this is actually higher than he's given credit for. I feel like when you speculate, you're like 50-50 most of the time.
So I feel that way, too.
Why would you do that?
You don't get the credit you deserve. Now, you're wrong with this one. But overall, I think you're...
I don't think I am.
I heard Elliott ask the question to Nick Sirianni on Monday. Elliott, my favorite part of you asking Nick to confirm that Kevin Petullo was calling plays in the second half was his face as I watched it on YouTube. He was like, what do you mean? Like, why? Yeah, he didn't say it, but it felt like he was saying, why are we talking about this?
Why are we entertaining that foolishness that Hugh Douglas is interested in talking about on the radio station?
You know, he's normally prepared for all questions. I think that one was probably one where he didn't expect it. But hey, guess he needs to listen to you guys from 10 to 2 more often.
He does. All right, Elliott. I was listening to you and Ike Reese debate yesterday, and I thought it was a compelling conversation because I think a lot of the fan base wants this thing to open up the way it was in the second half. It certainly was more fun to watch. They scored a lot of points. Jalen got cooking. It was great. But, Elliott, the point you were bringing to the conversation yesterday with Ike about the best way to keep winning is pretty sound. I mean, when they don't turn the football over, they just don't lose football games. And if they throw it more and they're more aggressive, they're probably more likely to have a few more turnovers just by the way the game goes.
Yeah, I understand the second half of that game was easily the most exciting we've seen from this team this season. And look, even last year, I think the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game where they threw the ball around was more exciting than most of the games throughout the year, besides Saquon breaking those long runs. So I understand the emotional desire to throw it more and to not be as conservative. I have a hard time telling a team that wins basically every time they play, that hasn't lost a game with Jalen at quarterback, finishing the game in like 19 games, and that's 3-0, to tell them they need to do it differently. Now, do they need to play better? Yes, I think they need to be about 20 to 25% better in the passing game. And once that happens, I think, you know, it'll sort itself out. But in terms of them needing to, you know, throw it 35 times a game, them needing to take more chances, maybe a few more chances, but ultimately they're at their best when they take care of the football. So I'm fine with them remaining with a bit of a conservative approach to taking care of the ball.
Elliot, are you convinced they figured it out now? I mean, like, there's moments in seasons where, like, the light switch gets flipped, right? Do you think that has happened now with the offense, with Petula, with Hurts, with this whole thing? Or do you need to see more? Because, you know, you could look at it either way based on the way that game ended on Sunday.
No, I'm not convinced that the second half of Sunday was some, like, aha moment for this team. I think it was a bunch of circumstances. They were down big. They went to hurry up. The Rams probably took their foot off the gas a little bit. And then by the time the Eagles had momentum, it was too late. And obviously they came back and won the game. And credit to Jalen for being the reason that they came back and won the game. He was outstanding in the second half. Obviously, AJ was good as well. But Jalen was unbelievable. So they deserve credit. But that was not, in my opinion, a sustainable way to play offense. You're not going to play hurry up all game, every game. Ask Chip Kelly how that works out. So the benefit of the hurry up was the Rams couldn't really substitute. The Rams couldn't really run complicated defensive looks. And as a result, the Eagles absolutely torched them. So when they come out and start a game well, then I'll feel better about where this team is at. I think the biggest problem they have is execution. I think the players will tell you that. I think if you put the coaches on truth serum, they would probably, you know, lean in that direction. So once this team starts to play to their potential, I think they'll be fine. I don't think they need some type of schematic overhaul or, you know, to do things drastically differently. I think Sunday showed in the second half, like, they're just more talented than most teams. And when they play to that potential, they don't need, some huge schematic advantage.
Elliot Shure Parks with us here as the Eagles are 3-0. Elliot, how much of the 3-0 start would you attribute to luck? Like, is it fair to call them lucky to be 3-0 based on how they play? They've been outgained and have less first downs than their opponent in all three games. That's pretty rare to first of all, just to win normally, but to win three in a row like that is not normal.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think you are probably correct in the way that if they played those three games, you know, if they simulated them a bunch of times, the chances of the Eagles winning all three of those games based off how the games played out are extremely slim. I mean, credit to Jordan Davis for making the play, and I don't think there's anything lucky about the play because he did it, he scouted it, and he went out and blocked it. But if they attempt that field goal 10 times, I mean, he's probably only blocking it, you know, twice, three times, something like that. And that's probably being generous. So I think that there is definitely an aspect of luck to them being 3-0. But where I would push back on your thing is, if this was the Carolina Panthers that were 3-0, then you could go, okay, like, the, you know, this is going to run out soon. They've won games, and credit to them, but this is not sustainable. When the team wins basically every time they line up for the last 3 years, it's hard for me to say that it's luck. So I agree the way the game's played out. Like, yes, there are some lucky elements to it. The team is defending Super Bowl champion. They win all the time. So I think that kind of hurts your luck argument.
Elliot, let's look forward to Sunday in Tampa Bay. And I can make the same case, maybe even stronger, about Tampa Bay. They're 3-0. And I know a lot of people are like, uh-oh, we're going to Tampa. The Bucs always beat the Eagles. Elliot, they've won in the final minute of every game. And they've played a couple bad teams. I mean, they had to do that to beat the Jets at home. They had to do it to beat Atlanta, who doesn't look any good. They had to do it to beat Houston, who might not be any good either. I'm not sure the Bucs are as good as their record says they are right now. What's your first thought on this game, Eagles-Bucs Sunday?
Yeah, so the three teams the Bucs have beaten are combined 1-8. And you look at the three teams the Eagles have beaten, they're probably not, Cowboys are not going to make the playoffs, but I think those three teams are better than the three teams that the Bucs face. So, I mean, the only concern with this game is that the Buccaneers might just be kryptonite to Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Like, it's truly the only situation we have seen them struggle in repeatedly. They've lost games, but it's not like we can sit here and go, you know, they struggle on Thursday night. They struggle on the road. They struggle at 4 o'clock games. Like, they win almost everywhere. The only place they don't win is Tampa. And not only do they not win, they look really bad. So if you just remove the history, I think the Eagles are way better than the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers really aren't that good. If you look at the stats, they're not top 10 in almost any meaningful offensive or defensive category. Their offensive line is honestly one of the biggest disasters I've seen in, like, recent years, just in terms of the injuries. Like, they legitimately could be missing all five starting offensive linemen this week in terms of guys either not playing or not playing in their position. Mike Evans is not playing. Their defense isn't that good. So, like, on paper, the Eagles should win this game. But we know they're concerned about the heat. They went a week early, or they're going a day early for that. So they believe that's a problem. And they haven't won down there. So I think they're going to win the game. But I think it's because of the history, it's fair to be concerned about it.
So how concerned are you with the heat? What kind of suit game are we going to roll with on Sunday? Do you have a different for the weather?
Might be some linen.
Well, I was thinking about doing some linen. See, the tough thing, though, is like traveling with a suit is difficult. Like you could do a suit bag, but those they still get a little wrinkly. You could put it in your suitcase, and then it's definitely getting wrinkly. So I do want to bring a suit. I think I might just do a jacket and pants. The good news is I'm in the press box.
Right.
So like I don't have to worry about the heat really besides just being at the Fans of Philly tailgate, which is always fun. But like outside of that, I'm mostly inside. So yeah, I can still dress to impress.
All right, Elliot, let's end with this. Yesterday, kind of out of nowhere, just considering how early it still is in the season, the Texans released Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Elliot, first of all, just your thought on it, but then second, as he goes through waivers, free agency, how this process goes, do you think the Eagles should and would entertain bringing him back?
Well, I do think, and, you know, they wouldn't say it, and I don't know if this is how they feel, but I think the Eagles should probably feel vindicated, right? When they traded away Chauncey, they were ripped for that. Why would you do it? You're creating a hole. Like, look at what's happened. Chauncey's now been cut by the Texans 3 games into the season. He's been with a different team almost every year. So I think the Eagles were smart in trading Chauncey. Would they bring him back? Like, I don't think so. I don't think that's something they want to go through again. But they do need help, and so I think that I don't think they want Chauncey back at safety. That's not where I think they would do it. I think he's too inconsistent in coverage. I don't think Vic Fangio would want him back there at safety. An interesting potential way to do this would be you put him at nickel, and then you move Cooper to the outside, and then that's your new starting 3 corners. The only issue with that is Vic has been pretty clear he likes Cooper at nickel, and I think that's where Cooper's at his best as well. So if Chauncey was going to play corner, I'd be a little more intrigued. But overall, I don't expect to see Chauncey back in an Eagles uniform this year.
What a wild story. I mean, this guy's on a different team every year, and now going to be probably on 2 teams this year. We'll see where he lands.
And what's crazy is with Kenyon Green being cut, Howie essentially traded a 6th-round pick for a 5th-round pick.
Howie wins again.
There you go.
Howie always wins. Elliot, appreciate you hopping on, and have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk during the pregame show on Sunday.
Have a good one.
Sounds good. Yep, talk to you soon.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Parks. All right, Hugh, the news came down right as our show ended yesterday.
Yeah.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson cut after 3 games with the Houston Texans. There's some stuff out there that he was upset about his role and all sorts of stuff, and they're 0-3, so they're going through it right now down in Houston. Hugh, he is now going to go through the waiver period, and he'll become a free agent. Would you bring him back?
No.
How come?
My first thought, I think he's a good person. I just think that the juice ain't worth the squeeze. You know what I mean? And it's not me trying to talk bad about him, but I was right because I was listening to the afternoon show. I was listening to the show, and I heard the news. And I was thinking, I can't remember the exact rules, but the Texans have to pay you. If you're on the roster at the starting day roster, if you're a vetted veteran, say if you've been in the league for 4 years, which I think he has, but he's been in it long.
Yeah.
Like at the beginning of the season, you get paid for the whole season, right? And the first thought that came to my mind was, damn, you cut this man and you still have to pay him. Like that was my first thought. And I was like, damn, he must have really been like a distraction for you to get cut and them to say, hey, we're going to pay you.
Just get out of here.
Just leave.
Yep.
Like that was my first thought. Because if you make it to the first, if you're a vetted veteran, if you played 4 years and you make it to the beginning of the season, your salary is guaranteed for that season. So basically they said, you know what, dog, we'll send your check to you. Just give us an address. We'll pay you. We don't want you here. That's power. And not only that, you're talking about a team that a few years ago was in the playoffs and have playoff aspirations. They still have a chance to make it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you have a veteran on the squad that just won the Super Bowl that's probably flexing in the locker room with his Super Bowl ring. Like, and the young kids are looking at that, and they said, you know what, dog? We're good. We don't want that in here. That's crazy to me. Like, it just makes, now I'm wondering, like, what were you saying in the locker room that got you got out of there?
It had to be bad. I mean, obviously. So, look, CJ, this is not new with him, right? There's a reason why he lasts everywhere he goes a year or two. I mean, it's been his career. But Saints, they traded him out of there before paying him. Eagles, just the 1 year, then he left. And then obviously the Lions, and then right back here. And now we're doing this where he's going to be on multiple teams this year. I know he's a headache. I also know this works here. I mean, for all the things you're saying, the Eagles did this twice and made the Super Bowl with this guy. I would bring him back. I don't think the Eagles will. I'll just put it that way. I don't think the Eagles are going to do it because it feels like they've probably moved off it after two times doing it. I would bring him back. You can't convince me that he wouldn't make the football team better.
What are you talking about?
You can't convince me he's not better than what they have in the defensive back room.
I mean, like, where's he going to play? Because you got Makuba. I was thinking about one of my clan members. Yeah.
That's Tua Tagovailoa.
Why do you say things like that?
What are you talking about? One of my clan members when we playing video games.
Dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's he going to play?
What did you call him? Makuba.
Come on, this guy had a big interception a week ago. He graduated past. So we don't know his name.
No. When I said I was thinking. About
who's your buddy, McGruber?
McGruka. Yeah, we were talking. No, matter of fact, we work together since we're here. Like he works here.
Oh, he plays with you.
Yeah, we play Hell Divers.
Makuba is on the Eagles. Andrew Makuba.
First up, we got crap.
Now that we've done this, where's he going to play? All right, Elliot.
You gonna take Makuba off the field?
No, I like Makuba. I want to keep him on the field. Am I the only one that saw Reed Blankenship getting cooked by Devontae Adams on Sunday?
It happens. That's not the record.
Don't you dare.
Okay.
You trying to bring up this signing white? No. I'm surprised that
I like.
Chose
I like.
Appalled.
Hold on. I like.
It's like I don't even know you anymore.
So we're gonna be sentimental today instead of having the best football team. That's fine. You guys could. Right.
I am ashamed that you want to break up.
I didn't say that. I like Reed. Reed's a good player. Who'd you rather in coverage on Devontae Adams?
It was a bad day.
Okay,
You know what? CJ's not that good in coverage.
Okay,
he's a ball hawk.
Would you rather CJ or Reed on a receiver on the outside?
Why I feel like you're picking on the white
I'm
guy,
not,
though.
I can do it.
That still don't make it
I don't
wrong.
Have many no, places.
No, why's Reed got to be in one-on-one coverage on the outside? Who the hell does that? Right.
Well, I don't know. To ask Vic Fangio. Okay. Also, Elliot brought up something interesting. We are down Ja'Cory and Bennett right now.
We need a corner.
Adoree Jackson. If they brought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back, he could play the slot. You leave Makuba at safety. You leave the safeties alone. We could stop picking on Reed. And you could play Cooper outside for a game or two while you get things together. I'm just saying he would make the roster better. Now, is it worth the headache? You guys could say no. They've been at two Super Bowls with this guy. I'd call him up. Sometimes there's certain players and teams that just works and everywhere else it doesn't work. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened in Houston, but I always liked Chauncey Gardner-Johnson as a player. And this idea that, like, they can't win with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They just won the Super Bowl with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
I just told you what happened. Something happened. Like, think about, just step back for a minute, Joe. Step back from this situation and step back for your love for CJ GJ.
I do love the player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fun player.
Think about this. You're at the Houston Texans. They haven't won anything, right? They trade for a Super Bowl champion to bring in that locker room to uplift the spirits of those young players. And they said, for whatever reason, I don't know, I wasn't in there. They said, you know what, Playboy? We're good. This ain't what we need. This is not the energy that we need.
Also, I got to say, it feels like they got away with one last year.
The Eagles.
Yeah, like
You mean with Chauncey?
And I say this with all love to the player.
With all due respect.
We're already dealing with one psycho on this defense. And Jalen Carter, who needs to grow up.
So you think that we're tipping the scales of too many?
I just think you played with fire for last year. You got away with it. You can only get away with it for so long.
And that's probably why they moved on in the offseason. Look, I realize this guy's career. I mean, he could talk his way out of the league. I mean, he's... Hugh, you're right. To get cut in 3 weeks sounds alarm bells about him. But also, I mean, I'm sitting next to someone who left Philadelphia, went to Jacksonville.
I'm with for money.
He got fired on TV and came right back to the Eagles.
Yeah, but I wasn't. Well, I wasn't. I wasn't. Well, I probably was considered a cancer in Jacksonville.
Once in a while, doesn't this happen where it's like there's a fit somewhere and then other where it doesn't work for a player somewhere else?
I did tell them to kiss my ass.
You did. And they cut you during training camp. They cut you on Hard Knocks.
They cut me on TV.
All right, where are people on this one? 215-592-9494. Would you bring back CJ GJ? On the record, I do not think the Eagles are going to bring him back. I'm just saying if I was Howie, yeah. I mean, I always think there's a path back to making the team better if he's out there. Again, they traded the sixth, got a fifth, the Kenyon Green thing, the whole trade was like a wash. But if he's just sitting out there, I mean, this safety room is not exactly the deepest in the NFL. Who do we have behind Makuba and Reed? It's Sidney Brown, who it doesn't seem like Vic wants to put on the field very much. I would certainly look into bringing him back. Lenny in Turnersville wants to know what's wrong with me. That's a loaded question. Lenny, what's up, buddy?
It sounds personal.
No.
Lenny.
Joe, how you been? What's going on? I'm talking, let's go to the Phillies again.
Okay.
I didn't go to home field university, but if they can get the number one seed in the National League, does that mean that they will have home field when the two teams go into the World Series?
Well, the World Series, they'd have to have the better record than anyone in the AL, which I think they will. So,
No. For the National League pennant.
Yes, yeah. If they get the one seed, they would have home field throughout the NL playoffs, yeah.
So what are you saying? These games this week don't mean anything. If the Brewers come in second and the Phillies come in first in the National League, all roads go through Philadelphia.
Absolutely. But so I guess my point on that, Lenny, was it's extremely unlikely to happen because there's not enough games left. Like,
so, yeah, there is.
But
Okay. Look, if it's in butts or candy and nuts, like Dandy Don said, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But
they are two. But hold on, Lenny. They're two and a half.
Wait a minute. If the Phillies won last night, they would have been one game behind the Brewers.
Well, so they're two and a half right now behind the Brewers. So they would have been.
There's five games left.
They also, Lenny, they don't have the tiebreaker. Two and a half is really three and a half. They have to jump over them by a full game.
Yeah. Yeah. So these games do mean something.
Sure, but do you know what the likelihood of them jumping a team by 2.5 or 3.5 games with 4 or 5 to play is? It's nearly impossible.
Yeah, but don't forget, the algorithms are there, that the scenario's there. But, I mean, just to say they don't mean anything, maybe it should have been prefaced with, well, they do mean something, but the likelihood is. Okay?
Well, I thought that's what I was saying. Practically, Lenny, like the odds of them changing their position, they're the 2 seed, right? The odds of them falling to the 3 are slim to none. The odds of them jumping over the Brewers for the 1, not slim to none, but close to slim to none. So we were discussing the idea of they know what I'm saying. Like that they recognize how unlikely it is for their position to change and how much that matters this week.
I don't think so. We can't speak for 25 people, 30 people in that organization. They're still playing their regulars, okay, for whatever reason it might be.
Well, hold on. Bryce Harper didn't play last night, and they haven't used Matt Strom in a week.
He's sick with the flu. You better hope it don't spread throughout the whole clubhouse.
That's right. Do you think if they were fighting for their playoff lives like the Mets or the Reds, he would have played last night? I do.
No. Okay. You can't play out there. Like, he's not no Michael Jordan, okay?
I guess not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other thing is, we don't have Tug McGraw. We don't have Brad Lynch. Durant is not a cerebral. He's just rolling back and firing. My 6-year-old grandson and 8-year-old grandson could have hit that ball last night. Okay? It was just put on a tee. He's not a cerebral pitcher. He's just throwing it at 100 miles an hour, and he's taking a risk. He's taking a chance. You're not going to hit my fastball because you can't catch up to it. He don't dot no corners. He don't paint no pitchers. We're going to be in trouble with him. Yes, he came in with a bang. Absolutely. But he's not a cerebral pitcher.
Well, what he is, here's my thing. And Lenny, good phone call. I just think he doesn't strike out enough batters. And when there's contact, with a 102-mile-an-hour pitch, it goes far the other way, right? When you hit a pitch as hard as he throws it, if you can hit it.
Yeah, that's an if. That's a big if.
Right.
Though,
and
he's throwing straight gas.
Sure, and that's why he's so. I mean, let's not pretend Duran is an excellent pitcher. He's not pitched super well lately, and is there some concern? Sure, he's not been as unhittable. I'm not as worried about him as I am the whole bullpen. Kirkering, unreliable right now. Robertson looks his age. They haven't used Strom in a week. And they got question marks down there as we got a week or so to go before the playoffs. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll keep taking your phone calls on the Phils, the Eagles. I think the Eagles are lucky to be 3-0. I don't think they've played to the level of their record yet. Can they? Will they? Yeah. I think they will start to play better football and win more convincingly. But I think it's been a lot of luck the first 3 weeks. Where do you come down on that? And the Phils, how concerned with the bullpen? Plus, what is this, a direct shot fired at Hugh Douglas by Jordan Mailata? Oh, boy. That's next. Your phone calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, football brings out a lot of emotions. It's why we love the game as much as we do. But that feeling you get when your bet doesn't hit, that hurts as well. It's a big hurt. But that feeling is a thing of the past with Game Day Guarantee from Fanatics Sportsbook. Here's how it works. Every single game now until October, new customers get up to $100 back in fan cash. If your football bet loses, that's guaranteed. And now additionally, new customers can also bet $10 to get $100 back in fan cash. Think about it. If you're betting with Fanatics, you're either winning or you're winning money back in fan cash. Fan cash that you can use in anything in the Fanatics universe, like apparel, tickets, bonus bets, and more. Why risk it with other sports books when you can switch to a sure thing? Every single game until October comes with a guarantee. Your old sports book, they're out for the season. Fanatics Sportsbook has your back. Go check it out for yourself. Download the app today. Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up at 1, week 3 NFL quarterback rankings. Hugh Douglas working on his list with pen and pad. I saw the work being done here. Hugh's going to have his top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, man, this gets harder as the weeks go by because the criteria changes.
All right, well, that's the way you do. I actually thought this week was the easiest one. Now, the order we could, you know, argue about. But I thought I think 10 have kind of emerged through 3 weeks. So we'll get to that coming up on the top 10 quarterbacks of pro football.
I feel it's too early for that, but we'll entertain that.
All right, well, yeah, well, it's a lot early of foolishness. We'll entertain coming up. Also, we got to let you hear what Drew Brees said about the Eagles. He does not like their offense. That's coming up. First, though, before we get back to the phone lines, can we hear from a friend of WIP? Of course, he's now part of the family, the Jordan Mailata Show on Monday at Chickies and Pete's. He's also a guest of the afternoon show, and it sure sounded like yesterday a direct shot at Hugh Douglas, because of course Hugh recklessly speculating all week that the Eagles had how would you describe what happened at halftime?
Somebody got slapped across the lips.
Exactly.
Sounds somebody like went in the locker room and got slapped.
Yep. So here's Jordan Mailata, I think, taking a direct shot at Hugh.
You try to be as positive as you can, you know, keep the spirits high, because you know, it's not fun when you're going 3-and-out, and everyone knows that. Everyone is, you know, their toughest critic, and so you just got to be positive, and you got to, you know, have those conversations in there about how we can get to the best runs possible, how we can create explosives, how we can, you know, get the ball out to AJ and Smitty. So, you know, those are all the things that we're doing, and you know, just trying to keep the mood positive and high in the locker room, especially after a half like that. Mm-hmm. Never want to come in and, you know, beat up on each other.
But that wasn't a shot at me.
The mood positive, not be
well,
all up on each other.
You try to be positive. That's why
I
said
that's a shot at you.
But that's why I said
and the speculation.
You slap some. You go behind closed doors and you slap.
Nobody just said don't beat up on each other.
Yeah, he literally said the opposite. Don't beat up on each other. Try to be
okay,
positive.
If you
that's
match,
not
Douglas.
That's not a beating up. Slapping is not beating somebody up. That's a slap. To get their mind right.
Come on.
You've never seen the Batman meme when he slapped Robin. Like,
you are,
damn it, man.
You are elite.
That person's about to say illiterate. But no, no, I'm saying he said you don't beat him up, but you can slap him.
Imagine,
like, get your head out of your butt.
Imagine telling someone 25 years ago, Hugh Douglas, there was something he was better at than rushing the quarterback, because you are better at spin than you are rushing the quarterback.
Hugh, somebody slaps you,
and you are an All Pro.
If somebody, it all depends on the scenario.
No. Like, say, okay. it doesn't.
Wait a minute,
be honest.
Okay, say
give me a scenario where it's okay.
If we were in a game and I wasn't playing well, and say Hollis said, "Damn it, man, get your stuff together." And then I would look at him and be like, you're right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, yeah. You know what? The young Hugh Douglas.
Hold on a second.
Hold on.
You can make a case every day from 10 to 2 we're in a game. So in the break, either myself or Kyle or Rod Layton comes up and bam! Smacks you and get your ass in gear, Hugh.
First of all, it's different with you guys. You could do that. Now, if it was somebody...
No, we can't.
Say, if Moshe... No. Came and slapped me, then I'm snatching the little bit of hair Moshe got left off his head. I'm snatching it off. Yeah. Then he had two bald spots. But no. It just all depends on the messenger. There's a lot of times, like there are times where there are certain things that I don't want to hear, but it depends on the messenger. And if me and the messenger have that kind of rapport, I might get a little bit upset, but I will receive the message. I think that's important. It all depends on who's delivering the message.
It's Come elite. On, big guy.
It is elite spin.
It's not.
It is.
I mean, dude, you are.
It is not. It's not.
Ugh.
But he's, to a certain extent, he's right. It's like you can't, there's still a half of football left to play.
Right.
And you don't want to come in there. Like I've seen, remember, well, that was at the end of the game. Remember when, who was it, the Cincinnati Big, the linebacker? Got the roughing the passer penalty in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah. Joseph
Asai. And he's like, what the hell are you doing?
Well,
like,
that was
That was bad. I've been in locker rooms where it's been like that. I've been in locker rooms at halftime where the game hasn't been going well and the kicker has been cussed out by some of the players. And it just blew my mind.
That feels like picking on the little guy.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened, though.
Literally.
I have never, like, it was in Jacksonville. I'm not going to lie. It was in Jacksonville. And I remember... I never saw anything like that before.
They picked on the kicker?
Man, we came in from halftime. We were losing, and players were cussing each other. I'm like, what offense they did it? And I was sitting there like, wow, that would never happen in Philly.
Incredible culture led by Jack Del Rio.
Yeah,
down
it was
there.
Different. It was different, man. It was different. And you know that a lot of places aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. But he's right to a certain extent. You can't go in there yelling and screaming at people, knowing that you're going to need those same people that you're yelling and screaming at for the second half. You can't do that.
So you don't think it was a direct shot at you?
No.
Okay.
I don't think. I'm allowed to recklessly speculate about what happened in locker room.
Well, we enjoy that.
Reckless, and when I preface it with reckless speculation, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I did.
You really carved something out between that and with all due respect. You can just say whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, that's how it worked, Joe. You didn't know that? Like, when you say with all due respect, and with reckless speculation, you can say whatever the hell you want to say after that.
Yeah.
Because it's up to you to, you know, take out of it what you want.
And everyone's living their own truth.
And living your own truth,
dog. That's what we do. Tony, I'm living my truth. The Eagles are lucky to be 3-0. Tony and Fox Chase, what's up? Tony?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Tony, what's
Happy
up?
Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Okay, what do you want me to start with first?
Whatever you want to start with, Tony. You decide.
Okay. Let's start with the birds, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Luck? No, I don't think it's luck. Let me ask you this. If you look at a professional dart player, Would you say it's luck that he's able to throw three darts in the bullseye?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Right.
They're good at it. They're professionals, right.
And so are the birds.
But Tony, if I give you that same dart player and I give him four beers and they're still four beers in and they're still throwing darts, that might be a little luck involved. Because when you're down 19, you're kind of drunk.
Hold on. The beers might help.
No, but you know what?
For you and I, not the pro.
There's a consistency going on here, guys. There's a consistency. The consistency is the resolve that this team has. That they're like the Fighting Phils. They're never out. They're never out of it.
Tony, I do agree with that. I think there's a culture that I give a lot of credit to Sirianni and Hurts, that they're the ones that there's a focus, there's a resiliency, and they never feel they're out of games. I do think that is a huge part of why they can pull off a comeback like they did.
I agree. But I also have to give some credit to Saban because he planted those seeds in Jalen. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. At the end of the game, they won the game. And not only Jalen, the coaches, and the whole team, they were not satisfied. They said it. Hey, we got a lot to clean up.
I love that about them. Tony, I do. And I don't know if you saw it. There was a video of Hurts' reaction when the field goal was blocked. Like, he's just stoic. Like, it's one of my favorite things about him. His emotions very rarely change. Like, he's level-headed all the time.
You're 100% right. He's cool, calm, and collected. But in that game, he was going up and down the sideline.
Yeah, he was excited. Well, and we needed that because they needed to get fired up. And he kind of broke character a little bit there in that third quarter.
He doesn't care how they win, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball, defense. It doesn't matter as long as it gets done. And that quality is amazing.
It is.
Another good point.
It is. Good call, Tony.
Yeah.
Kind of cooked you.
A little bit.
He took me down the dart path, but then we talked about if the dart player was drinking a few.
A little banged up.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't probably get the same results from the dart player.
Yeah, but he probably still would win.
But he's a pro. Yeah.
But
maybe a little lucky if he was drinks
but
in.
But hold on.
Yeah.
Might be a little drunk. But his professionalism and talent might win the day.
What a line. He might be a little drunk, but his professionalism.
A little drunk.
Tiny bit.
So we could describe Hugh on a daily basis?
Yeah.
I am not drunk at work or high, for that matter. Neither one.
Well, PSA, just in case you guys were thinking
I'm just saying, because I get a lot of that. A lot of people say, oh, man, take a gummy before. No, dog, I don't do gummies during the week. That's on the weekend.
You're right.
It's on a Friday, right after work.
Yeah, not during the show. I think you need to get credit. All the takes you have
are hot.
They're terrible.
They're hot. I have fire takes. I have those kind of takes that make you say, he ain't as crazy as I thought he was.
Not actually, crazier than I assumed he was.
No, because, you know, some of them, they'd be like crazy like a fox.
People were saying you were off your wheelchair yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, but there's some validity to what I'm saying. Different game plan. Just saying.
Because they somebody were down got, three scores and they had to throw.
Somebody got slapped.
Yeah, I think
somebody got slapped.
I mean, Jordan Mailata.
Somebody got cursed out.
That's different than getting slapped.
No, the slaps sound better, though.
Well, no, it does. It's better for. I agree. You should roll with that.
I like the fact that people like have to say that it wasn't a slap because.
I mean, you have the Eagles backpedaling this week. I mean, you got Sirianni in the press conference confirming Pro Football Talk writing that Petullo didn't lose play calling Mailata. And they must be working overtime in PR over
reckless
there.
Reckless speculation. I'm surprised I ain't heard from Bob. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, there it is. There's the message. Shut up, Douglas. That's enough. Spike in Bristol's up. Hey, Spike. Spike?
We are on a roll.
Spike going once, twice, then we put her back on hold. She was early. Angry with me, so I'm glad we get to hold on for that one. Let's talk to Rob and Delco. Hey, Rob.
Yo, guys. How you doing?
What's up,
Rob?
Man?
Yo, listen, I got a nickname for our closer, too. It's not a good one, all right? I'll give you that in a second. But
this is about to be so clever.
Yeah. Yo, when is Kyle off again? Because whenever you have somebody substitute in, the game has stepped up as a producer, so
That's a shot. I like Kyle
again. Really clever. Really, anyway, really nailed that one.
Anyway, here we go. Forget him. Listen, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, both of you, if you could give me a number, what is your worry or your concern with Duran? One being the least, 10 being the worst.
I don't know, four?
Two.
Five?
Four?
Yeah.
Here, what would your
two.
Be here?
I would say two.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you why I'm like an 8.5 and a 9 with this guy.
Mm.
And it happened back, and listen, they're going to blow staves, okay? You know, Ridge, even the year, what was he, 48 for 48?
Right.
I can't remember every save, but I'm sure there was plenty of saves, maybe a handful of saves. That kind of, he kind of got lucky.
Oh, of course, of course, yep.
Okay, so I'm keeping that in mind because I'm not trying to be too critical, but this is why I am worried. When he blew that save against Washington, and then, you know, now it's against Florida. And I think Florida was 9-1 in their last 10 games.
You know the Marlins are not yet eliminated from the wild card mix?
I know.
Yeah, they're still playing for something.
But here's my thing, is they're still the Marlins.
Right.
Their lineup, I look at them and I'm thinking like, man, when he's facing the Dodgers, or he's facing the Brewers, or he's facing the Mets, or he's facing the Cubs, whoever, even the Reds, who have some pop in their lineup. I'm worried because this guy has never pitched in this stadium with this crowd going nuts in October. And that's why I'm worried. And you know what? I'm done with the entrance. Get rid of the entrance. Mm. How many saves has he blown, Joe? I would love to know. It can't be good.
I think it's three. Well, we can look that up.
I think it's three.
And the
it's
opportunities like three, but... he's had, based on the opportunities he's had. You know what I mean?
Well, so he has, in a Phillies uniform, he's got 15 saves. So I guess 15 out of 18, if we're right about the three.
Okay. So that's I don't know what the percentage would be, the exact number, but I mean, I think it's a little high for the amount of opportunities he has. And my nickname for him is going to be DeBlown. Like he's Deron DeBlown.
DeBlown, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's
let's
awful.
Hope that one doesn't catch on. Rob, we appreciate the phone call.
<So cool.
laughs> We don't want it to catch on.
No, I'm just saying.
If it catches on, that means he's blowing saves.
I
do think part of it is this is our fault. We created an air of invincibility when he got here. Like, he's never going to blow a save. He does have a 2.29 ERA and 25 strikeouts to one walk as a Philly. Do I think he's automatic? No. Very few closers are. He's 1,000 times better than what we had before July 31st. It's the whole bullpen that is a problem. Like, if it was just him, I would say, all right, he's got to get it figured out.
He needs to be a lot better than this. Like, a lot better. Joe,
I think this is what he is.
Okay, that's not good enough.
Okay.
When he comes in, do you have the feeling of the game's over? That's the feeling we should have. Mm. I don't have that anymore. I did when he first got here.
I know, but is this our fault? Did we create an air of like he's Mariano Rivera here? This thing's just
did feel like,
let's just go home.
I've heard people invoke that name.
Yeah, he's not.
But was he not better in Minnesota earlier this year than he was here?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He needs to be the reason that I have confidence in the bullpen. He's not.
Like, okay.
In fact, he's part of the problem.
Sure.
Right now.
I'll say it this way: he needs to be close to perfect in October. I mean, how many saves can your closer blow in the postseason and you still win the World Series? It's hard, right?
He can't.
He can't. I mean, maybe we give him one and they still win in extra innings if he doesn't go down, right? Like they can find a way to still win. But for the most part, he's got to be close to perfect in October. Or if he gets a 2-run lead, he better only give up one run. Look, I'm not super concerned about him, just him. I am concerned about the bullpen, the whole operation there, because it's one thing if it was just him and you're like, all right, get it together for next month, figure it out. But it's him, it's Kirkering, I don't know why they're having you Strom in a while. It's Robertson, it's a lot going on. Let's go to Bruce in D.C., usually at work around this time. Bruce?
Hey.
Oh, he was ready today. What's up, Bruce?
That's right. I was ready, and I literally just got out of a meeting like 5 minutes ago.
Perfect.
And look, I kind of had you on like, I was kind of like monitoring off on the side,
mm-hmm.
and you all had problems connecting with somebody else. I said, damn, are they talking to me or not? Hardly.
He's a little paranoid.
Yeah, we got you though. All right. Bruce, what do you got for us?
All right, well, first of all, Hugh, I will be checking out the Lemon Pepper Wings tonight.
Lemon Pepper.
I've already got the target, man. I already got three places. So that's going to happen. We're going to roll into town tomorrow.
Yeah, that's nice. Lemon Pepper, yeah, that's a good wing.
I'll give you an update. About this Eagles thing. I mean, they were probably lucky, but they're not. Just from your commentary, I had to kind of like rethink that. I have a different angle
okay.
on on why they were winning. There was a small part of that was luck, but that kind of flows both ways, right? I mean, we could have got an interception in the Dallas game, or I can't remember, and he missed the catch. So that goes both ways. But I think it's more our winning has been based purely on talent, on the talent that we have on the team that has been able to get us through these rough spots, and not necessarily through the play calling, which has been a weight around our necks because we are restricting ourselves and unleashing on the offensive side of the ball. And to me, I still cannot understand. I do not understand why that has been a problem. And what happened, what we saw in the last game, right, is that it caught up to them because what happened was that in the first half, they were got three and out, six and out, three and out, three and out. The defense got tired in the first half because they got worn down. That's the reason why the defense couldn't perform the optimal ability because the offense was not staying on the field even long enough to be productive. So that's kind of what we saw in this last game. But let me just say, for some odd reason, I just think on the takeaway, this is the blessing that we saw in the second half. And I think what Mailata is saying, the way he says, they're going to really pull it together. And I'm confident that we're going to beat the brakes off of Tampa this Sunday.
Now we're talking.
They have an axe to grind. They got an axe to grind with them because we went down there last year and we didn't have three of our top starters. And the Eagles, I'm not going to be surprised they beat the freaking brakes off of them. The freaking Jets hung 27 on them. So there's no reason why we should not be able to do the same.
Bruce, I agree with you. And I think this Bucs team, now they're lucky. I mean, I don't even think that's the debate. They're 3-9. Bruce, we appreciate your phone call. They've won in the final minute of each of their games. And they haven't even played back at the teams. They've played Atlanta and the Texans and the Jets. I think they're very fortunate to be 3-0. Now, when we had Elliot on, he mentioned the only thing kind of holding them back a little bit is the history in Tampa. I mean, it's been, I think, of all the teams Sirianni and Hurts have played, I think it's the team they have the worst record against in the last five, now 6 years. Like I think they're 1-4, 1-5, something like that, against the Bucs, you know, since 2021. The Bucs have given them a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and it's mostly been on the Bucs, the defense. It looks like Jalen has a little bit of trouble. I remember 1 year we went down there, I think when Swift was here, and they talked about one of the conversations was had about how Jalen couldn't read the defense, and he cut him up that day.
I think that's the only time they've beaten the Bucs.
Yeah, but since then, man, it just looks like it's been a little bit of a struggle. And the last time we went down there, we didn't have all the pieces that we needed, and that was a big issue. But, yeah, it just feels like this week, you know, we have most of everybody healthy. It just feels like this is going to be a lot tougher game because of the way Ty Bowles is going to scheme that defense.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. I mean, and the Bucs have become a consistently good team. They keep winning that division even after Tom Brady left because of Baker Mayfield. It's going to be a fun one on Sunday. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. We got a lot to do moving forward in the show today. About 1 hour from now, updated QB rankings. Top 10 quarterbacks in pro football through 3 weeks of the season. I feel like I got the 10, and now it's about the order of putting those guys in, but I feel like 10 have emerged here as the 10 best in pro football to start this season. All right, coming up, are the Eagles lucky to be 3-0? I think they are. I don't think they've played like a 3-0 team. Outgained less first downs to their opponent all 3 weeks of the season. Hugh doesn't see it that way. And the Phillies, what's your concern level with this bullpen after last night, really the last week or so? They're just not pitching great out of the bullpen with 5 games to go in the regular season. We'll also hear what Ross Tucker said to us yesterday about the Eagles and where they're at through 3 weeks of the season, the word he used to describe it. That's all coming up. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
But now have you heard me talk about the new tailgate drink, the new Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry Whiskey. It's the real deal, folks. It's bold, vibrant blackberry softened with a creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a hint of honey. It would be the touchdown of your tailgate this season. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirits and grab yourself a bottle of Jack Daniel's Blackberry to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry lemonade. And remember, tailgate responsibly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.